Today on Abounding Grace Radio, lessons we can learn from the encounter of Laban by Jacob.
It was our deception that pinned him to the cross. It was our lies against him that we crucified the Lord of glory. And yet God worked through all of our deception to send his son into this mess so that today you might be a bride purified, spotless, beautiful, radiant, glorious in his sight.
And amen. Boy, we've got an exciting program lined out today. So join us and be encouraged from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our survey of Genesis chapter 29, to be specific, verses 1 through 30, a match made from heaven. It's the interaction between Jacob and Laban and what we can learn from it. Here's Pastor Chris now with today's program.
So it came to pass when he saw, there's a connection. When he saw the nose rings and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house." Uncle Laban, he was as sensual with the best of them. Laban was governed by the senses. This was a greedy, money-hungry man, a schemer himself. And the text wants you to see, when he heard about Jacob, what happens? As soon as Rachel tells her father about Jacob, what do you read in verse 13? Laban hears the news about Jacob, his sister's son. He ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him, and brought him into the house. Does that sound familiar? Here is a young prodigal running, and this father is running out to meet him. Running, embracing, and kissing. Where else do you find that story? Jesus had a whole parable about two brothers, a younger brother and an older brother. And remember what Jesus said the father did, the good father of that parable? While he was still a long way off, this is when the younger prodigal came to himself, his father saw him and felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Same thing. When Jesus started that parable, you know what he said about the young prodigal? That the young prodigal ran to another country. And what did the young prodigal do in the other country? He went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country. He became a hireling. He became under bondage. And what then happened? Can you imagine the reception of the citizen of another country? He ran, he embraced, and he kissed, but with no compassion. And I believe Jesus had this whole story of Jacob and Esau on his mind when he gave the parable of the prodigal sons to challenge Israel. You don't realize your great spiritual father was the young prodigal. And you're behaving like this older brother. But you come from this. That's another sermon. Jacob comes. This father embraces and this father kisses and he runs. And what is the very thing that Laban says when Jesus says he joins himself to a citizen of that other country? What is the very thing that Laban says when he sees him? "You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." That's a curious thing, because that's the very thing that Adam said of his wife Eve. And it was right after Jacob told him everything. "Oh, Jacob, don't feel bad about your past. We're cut from the same cloth, you and me. You are bone of my flesh." Some of you guys are really into sports, and you'll make the front row for that. But I tell you what, you got the best showdown ever right here. These are two master schemers right up next to each other. And we have a match made from heaven. What's on Laban's mind? He doesn't care about him. He sees a strong servant who can move boulders. He sees dollar signs. And the very thing that Jesus said is that this is what happened. Jacob now goes into hard labor. In fact, I'm going to show you in the weeks to come that this is the whole story of Israel in bondage. This whole story would be repeated for Israel to be remembered, because the Lord's going to bring him out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and plunder Laban. But he goes into serious bondage, which is really a whole retelling of Israel's story in bondage in Egypt. But notice what happens here. We could apply some of this initially. When somebody is running from the consequences of sin and they don't see it, what are they running to? Well, they're escaping. And they're running because something else seems more promising, or something else seems safe, and it promises happiness and freedom, and maybe somebody there who really cares. But it's not true. There may be somebody to greet you, but when we run from our consequences, you never really find relief. That's the lie we buy into. That when we choose to run in this life, we never find relief. And part of the Lord being with Jacob, part of the Lord saying in back in this previous section, I will be with you wherever you go, the Lord saying that is now to teach Jacob this lesson. Jacob is now under bondage to a citizen of another country, and he is a cruel man. Verse 15 describes it. Laban says to Jacob, well, he's been noticed it said previously that he had been there a month in verse 14. And so then in 15, Laban comes, and Laban's thinking, I'm not just going to host this guy. This guy's going to make me some profit. Why should you serve me for nothing? Tell me your wages. Laban is not gaining from Jacob being there. And so he's saying, I'm not entertaining you indefinitely. You're going to work. You are going to work. In fact, this is not fair work, because Jacob is going to complain against Laban that Laban changes the wages 10 times and deceives him. Jacob says, okay, I will work for you 7 years for your daughter Rachel. Laban agrees. And it's kind of a romantic twist here. They only seem like a few days because of his love for her. Well, he really, really loved Rachel. So verse 21. At the expiration of those years, Jacob comes to Laban and he asks for wages. In other words, he wants to take Rachel as his wife. He wants payment. He wants his wife. Give me my wife. I want my wife. In those days, there would be a long feast and there would be a big drinking banquet that would happen. So a normal wedding, you would have processions and you would from the bridal house, and then you would have a big marriage contract, and there would be the reading of the marriage contract, and there would be a large meal and a great celebration. And after the celebration, the groom would take his cloak and he would wrap his bride, who was veiled throughout the whole ceremony. He would wrap his bride in his cloak. She would then be, at the end of the ceremony, unveiled. Notice what happens. The feast must have been happening all day. Verse 23. It came to pass an evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. He baited and switched. This is quite a moment. I was reading the other day about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Any of you ever read about that? Bugs Moran and the Northside Gang of Chicago was a threat to Capone. And so they made a plan. They had a bootlegger who came in and lured in seven of Bugs's men into this warehouse. I mean, this is classic mob stuff in Chicago. Lured seven of Bugs's men into the warehouse, and two of Capone's men put on police officer uniforms, and numerous other men put on trench coats. And they came in and basically faked it as a police raid. And so they lined up, all of them on the wall, and shot them up. It was the greatest mob massacre in history of the U.S. Sheer deception, putting on a uniform and taking out. We say, those are thugs. This is Jacob and Laban we're studying. Sheer deception going on here. Think about this. It's wedding night. Wine has been flowing. He looks at Rachel in her wedding garment all day. He's gazing. And all of a sudden at night, when it can't be seen, Laban takes Rachel's wedding garment and puts it on Leah. And in the darkness of the night, in the tent, the marriage is consummated. Jacob's blinded to the whole thing in the tent, by the way. First night of the honeymoon. So, verse 25, it came to pass in the morning. Behold, it was Leah. You notice the play in verse 17? She has weak eyes. Weak eyes. All night holding weak eyes. All night loving weak eyes. And in the morning, the sun, they walk out of the tent and the sun comes down. This is your Bible. One pastor said he probably called her by name 100 times. I love you, Rachel. Jacob's furious. Can you feel the anger? He comes out. He goes to Laban. What have you done? Here's the big moment. You deceived me. What does Jacob's name mean? Deceiver. Now, I can't imagine what struck him at the moment. He not only has met his match, isn't this a little bit of deja vu? How so? Put it together. Providence has become really painful here. Jacob was the younger, and he deceived his father, who had weak eyes, by faking garments to become the older. And he deceives blind dad, steals the blessing. What just happened in this scene? The father, Laban, deceives Jacob by taking the blessing of the marriage of his younger daughter and putting the garments on the older daughter, who the text says has dim eyes, and deceives Jacob into marrying her and taking her. It was said to Jacob, the older will serve the younger. Your brother Esau will serve you. And now Jacob, the younger, has just served for the older. What a lesson. What a lesson. Even more mind-boggling is that if you go throughout his history, his own sons will deceive him about his favorite son, Joseph, and they'll strip him of his garment and hand it back to him bloody, stained, where he lives for years thinking that his son was torn to death by a wild beast. As much irony and as much play as in this text, do you see the principle at work? You reap what you sow. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So, here's the conclusion. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This is a powerful lesson this morning. It's a very powerful lesson this morning. It must have struck him like a ton of bricks. We read no complaint on the matter after this. And he works and works a deal with Laban to work another 7 years for Rachel. And that time was not like a few days. He now has an unloved wife. Uncle Laban worked him a good one, and this is a soap opera unlike I've ever come across. You know, I was thinking about this week. We often cry out in our lives for injustices of things happening to us. And we may say in our lives, why is this happening? Or why is this person giving me so many problems? Or why are people acting like this? Or why are they pursuing this against me? Or why are they treating us this way? Why are they treating my children this way? Have we ever thought to pause in the midst of conflict and ask if God is teaching us something about ourselves? You ever thought that the very personalities and people whom you don't get along with and can't stand most represent you? What a twist. They're showing the same characteristics in you, and that's why you can't stand it. The conflicts we face with people who may be leveling some injustice on us, maybe the Lord using these very things to teach you a lot about your own life. But here's what I love this morning. in this kind of chastening, it demonstrates the Lord's love. Why do I say that? What did the Lord say he was going to do for Jacob? The Lord said that he was going to bring him back and that he would never leave him nor forsake him. That means that this whole trial, this whole refinement, the Psalms talk about this being the Christian life being refined as silver is refined and tested as gold is tested. This is what the Lord's doing to bring him out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm to teach generations of people what deliverance looks like. Israel would be able to study this. For the moment, no discipline, you know, all discipline seems painful, then pleasant. But afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. And God is committed to the project to sanctify you. God is committed to begin this work, and he doesn't leave sanctification completely up to you because this is what you would go do. And he takes it and works it for a wonderful master plan that he has. After this scene, guess what? You get a new Jacob. When he comes back and meets Esau and he comes back through Bethel, you see a man being greatly refined. You see a man who's well being sanctified and treated by the Lord in a way that is chiseling him into the man that God has determined him to be. But God did something well beyond this. Do you know what the Lord did through this mess? Leah is the unloved wife, isn't she? Kind of grieve over that whole scenario. Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, look at all this compassion here. He opens her womb. The Lord loves Leah so much. And what a message to those wives who feel unloved. The Lord loves you. He loved her so much that he looks on compassion and she bears Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah right then. Now, Levi would come from Moses and Aaron, right? When Moses and Aaron would come. Judah, the youngest of her four sons. What did Jacob, what would he prophesy at the end of Genesis about Judah? A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. The royal line of David and Solomon, the lion of the tribe of Judah, came from this. Now, Lot's daughters in the cave was bad enough. Look at how the Lord works. The lion of the tribe of Judah, who is Jesus Christ, came from this. And from these two women, Leah and Rachel, came the 12 tribes of Israel. And God uses this whole deceptive scene, training Jacob on one end and building the house of Israel on the other. And notice what happens, to fulfill all of it, to fulfill his gospel promise to Abraham. And that their descendants would be as the dust of the earth. It's happening right in front of us this morning. And you stand back from this and you say, well, we are all schemers. We're all schemers. But look at what the Lord's committed to do through it. Let me close with one 2-minute reversal that you need to see. Last one. One day, a son of Jacob came to a well. Remember when Jesus came to the well? This woman was not attractive. She was a disgusting adulteress. She had been married all these times. She had 5 husbands. And here is a son of Jacob in whom really there was no deceit. Sent on a mission to get a bride for himself, to purify a bride for himself, spotless and radiant, without any sin. That's glory. Give me a drink. What was the first thing that came out of her mouth? Are you greater than Jacob? Jacob rolled away boulders. Jacob watered 3 flocks. Are you greater? Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This woman was a deceiver. And when Jesus tried to expose it, she still wanted to deceive. And you see, through our deception, it was our deception that pinned him to the cross. It was our lies against him that we crucified the Lord of glory. And yet God worked through all of our deception to send his son into this mess so that today you might be a bride purified, spotless, beautiful, radiant, glorious in his sight. That's an amazing gospel. Instead of running from him then, why not, boys and girls, you run to him? Why don't all of us come to him, the author and finisher of our faith? Instead of a deceitful life, why not enjoy a life that is honest? Coming home to a father who loves you, who has compassion, who runs and embraces and kisses and puts a robe on you of righteousness. He cares for you. And the Lord has said he only intends for you his best. That's the gospel of grace. And shall we praise him today in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are deeply moved by this passage. We see how sensual we are. We see that we're governed by our senses and that everyone runs and does what they want to do. And if you had not pursued and worked in your sovereign power and grace to seek and to save that which is lost, we would have all become like Sodom. We would have all been made like Gomorrah. But you are faithful. And this morning we stand in awe of your great workings and power. We're not alone. We're never alone in this life. And we thank you for showing us how committed you are in your sovereign grace and love to bring us home, refining us and testing us, and ultimately giving us the greatest gift through it all, your beloved Son. May we always hear him. We respond to you, O Lord, in prayer and in praise, thankful for the grace you've shown for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. What an insightful look into Genesis 29, huh? The interaction between Jacob and his uncle, soon-to-be father-in-law, Laban. What an insightful look into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.